Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for a weekly visit with columnist John Canzano. Brought to you by Zeke's Pizza. Zeke's Pizza has you covered this football season. Beast Mode, Legion of Shroom, Cherry Bomb, and Puget Pounder are all great options while watching the Hawks. Don't forget to grab a six-pack or a crowler of the Northwest's best local beer, too. Order online for delivery or pickup at Zeke'sPizza.com. Zeke's Pizza, homegrown in the Northwest. Now with John Canzano, here's Puck and Jim.
Hey, folks, this Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Get ready for the first ever iHeartRadio Access Day. We're going to give you access like never before. The biggest deals from national local brands you love, along with awesome experiences like winning a one-year subscription to iHeartRadio All Access. You can also spend the day with Dan Patrick and the Danettes of the Man Cave. Live broadcast of The Herd with Colin Cowherd. You can see LL Cool J in concert. You can shave John Canzano's head while he's on the air, even though he does not work for iHeartMedia. Register right now to get your reminders when experiences go live this Thursday. Go to iHeartRadioAccessDay.com. That's iHeartRadioAccessDay.com. Would you do something for like that on charity, Canzano, as he joins on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline? Have somebody, like, you know, scalp your hair there, shave it down while you're on the air, raise some money?
I bristled at the word scalp. Let's stop right there.
Yeah, probably. It's probably a poor choice of words.
I'm all about charity. We could come up with something. What if I grew my hair out for charity? How about them, Apple?
Oh, that'd be good.
Oh, yeah.
Like, where can you still grow it? On the sides?
I grow it all over. Come on, Jim. Who knows what would happen? I don't know what would happen. That would be the beauty of it. We grow it out. It could be...
Yeah,
I could look like Richard Simmons for all we know.
You could. No one will ever know because you shave it all off every. What do you do it once a week again? Right? Is that what it is?
Daily, man. Oh, daily now. Daily.
Would you ever wear a toupee?
No, come on. It's the brand.
Yeah,
I got the brand.
It's
here.
The bald face truth. You know? It can't be the bald face
brand
with a toupee. It's the toupee truth. I mean, that doesn't work, does it?
Here's the thing, though. You got a lot of people who will say to me, you know, should I shave my head? I get that question. And I say, you know, do you have a beautiful bald head underneath your hair? We don't know that. Like, you may have, like, a Gorbachev, birthmark. So I think it's not for everyone. You know, I've seen people that shave, and there's a dent up there that you didn't know about. You know?
Yeah, so, it's not for me. I mean, you're right about that. My sister was, she had some cancer treatments going through chemotherapy. I did I shaved my head, and it did not look good.
I remember
good.
When you did that, though, years ago.
I don't know, my head's kind of big and kind of, I don't know. But it fits you, John. You look good with a bald head.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you for that. That's why I come on the show. You guys keep it coming.
We just try to, you know, boost up your morale. I mean, you're kind of down in the dumps, I know. Hey, you've got something up there, and only you can do this, where you can weave a JFK conspiracy into sports conspiracy. It was marvelous writing and storytelling. But one of your latest pieces up at johncanzano.com. And again, if you don't subscribe to this, you're doing it wrong. Get on there, subscribe right now, and read John's work. Everything's up there, from stories like this to breaking news on the Pac-12 to anything. Bald-Faced Truth by John Canzano. And of course, he's on with us every week here, brought to you by Zeke's Pizza. But you tell the stories of a story of George Bud Barnum, who was 23, 24 years of age, and he was one of the pallbearers and he was serving the military when John F. Kennedy was assassinated. They brought in his body into one of the hangars, right, when it arrived off Air Force One. And you detail the story how him and the other, like, 24-year-olds were put into a room and taken away by gunpoint because you don't know, or he doesn't know, if it was the CIA or the military, whoever it was, trying to come up with their story about what transpired. It was, how did you stumble across this guy?
Well, George Barnum is the father of Bruce Barnum, the Portland State football coach. And so there one day I had Bruce Barnum in studio for an interview. And you know this, sometimes, hey, family's in town, come along for the ride. And during, you know, before he came on air in the commercial break, I started talking to him. And he said, you know, I served in the Coast Guard. And then Bruce says, my dad was one of the pallbearers for JFK. And I was like, okay, we're not doing a football interview anymore. We're talking about that experience. And it was fascinating to hear, you know, because he's part of the honor guard for the Coast Guard. So it wasn't just JFK's body. He was also the pallbearer for General MacArthur and other dignitaries and other high-level military personnel who came through Andrews Air Force Base at that time. And so he, you know, I said, take me through that. And he said it was really weird that, you know, they were sequestered prior to taking possession of the body and the casket. They were sequestered. All of the pallbearers were put in a room. It was locked from the outside. They were put in the room at gunpoint, basically ordered into the room. He did not know if it was Secret Service or the CIA or some, you know, the FBI, some branch of military that was ordering them there, but they were trying to listen through the door. It's a steel door, and they couldn't really hear. They could just hear arguing. And there may have been some chain of command questions, which military branch was supposed to take possession of the casket and the body. It may have been the Secret Service arguing with the CIA. He, to this day, does not know, but they were 45 minutes. They were locked away. And I said, did they switch the body? Because that's one of the conspiracy theories, is they switched the body. And he does not believe they switched the body because he was present for the autopsy. The pallbearers were in the room while they did the autopsy at the hospital in Maryland there. And so he said he saw JFK's body. He even took a picture. They were allowed to take a photograph of JFK's body on the table as the autopsy's performed. He believes it was the president. He then later, you know, they were instructed from the time they took possession of the casket and the body to not let it out of their sight. They did not, except for that 45 minutes. And, you know, he said there's a bunch of conspiracy theory podcasts and groups that have asked him to come speak, and he, you know, he does occasionally talk about it, but, you know, it's just, it's really interesting. I would sure like to know who was arguing about what outside that door. And yes, it provides a gateway into what we all love: conspiracy and sports, UFOs, the lunar landing. You know, we all have that one thing where we kind of think and wonder. I wonder if there are aliens living among us. I don't know about you.
Well, yeah.
Oh, do you?
100%. I do. I believe all of it.
So you believe in it, though? UFOs, aliens, the whole thing?
I heard a Stanford professor talk about, you know, the probability that aliens have visited Earth, you know, and he even said, I believe they're probably still here. And I go, if they visited, they probably are still here. Like, who knows? I don't know, Jim. I don't know. We all have something. Just ask your friends. We're all weird about something.
Mm-hmm. The universe is too big for just us.
I'm with you on that.
There's just no way. But I like how you weaved it into the sports conspiracy, because going into Game 7 yesterday, Miami at Boston, that the NBA officials, Tony Brothers and Scott Foster, were two of the three officials. They had worked a combined 10 combined Miami games in the regular season. In those games, the Heat were 0-10. Brothers and Foster also worked Celtics 9 combined games, and in those games, Boston was 7-2. So before the game, as you write, everyone's like, "Oh, here we go." It's going to be one sided on Boston because the NBA wants one of their flagship franchises to be in the NBA Finals. And then you have a relationship with Dale Scott, who is a former MLB crew chief, who had heard similar things throughout his career as an umpire in baseball.
Yeah, and he always comes, you know, flying in whenever there's a conspiracy involving officiating. He's just a big believer that officials sometimes make mistakes. There are statistical oddities. That's what he called the Scott Foster, Tony Brothers thing. He pointed out in 2004 that he, during the regular season, he umpired 14 Cardinals games, and the Cardinals were 14-0 in those games. Then he got assigned to the National League Division Series. Cardinals beat the Dodgers. Yeah, you know, in four. And then he gets to the World Series and everybody's crowing, you know, how the Cardinals are going to win because Dale Scott's on the field. And we all know the Red Sox swept the Cardinals that year 4-0. And he goes, it's just, it happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. And he says, we're sports fans in particular are all looking for some reason to not blame their team when something goes wrong, or to not give credit to the other team. And he says, you know, this, sometimes weird stuff just happens.
Hey, John, I've been sitting on a question for 2 months from one of your mailbags, and I've never felt like it was an appropriate time to ask you. You mind if I ask you that right now?
Yeah, do it. Do it.
Do dogs get colds?
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I think so. I think they can have down days. I think they can be depressed. You know, we've all seen dogs that don't look quite right. So I would think a cold would be something. I'll say yes on that. I'm not a medical veterinary expert, but I would venture to say, yeah, why not? Yeah,
there's a question in this mailbag, and I've been writing it down every week. Do dogs get colds? I wanted to ask you that.
Why?
I just thought it was interesting. I never heard anyone say
that they do.
Well, I never heard anyone anywhere, anytime say, you know, hey, I wonder if dogs get colds. Yeah, and it just was interesting to me.
Hey, maybe I'm ignorant. I think it's always been common knowledge when their snout is warm, they've got a cold. It's when it's cold, it's not.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Have you ever seen like the Die Hard?
You've owned a dog for years. How would you not know that?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Don't interrupt the guest.
Have you ever seen like a diehard runner who's got a dog with him? I always wonder, is that dog a runner too, or was it just bad luck?
It's just bad luck.
Maybe.
Bad luck.
What if you're like a dog that's got no motivation, no incentive, you're not at all athletic, you get adopted by like an Olympic runner who's like, I've got my dog. And by the same token, I always, you know, you'll see people who may be a little down and out with a dog, and I think, you know, maybe that dog should have been with a runner. Maybe, you know, the dogs don't have a choice.
What about when you pull up on the freeway and you see the hobo with the dog? And don't you think to yourself, I want to take that dog away from the hobo?
No, dog had no choice.
No choice to be I'm
more
along
apt
with that
to,
hobo.
I'm more apt to give the hobo well, money, I know, but aren't
the,
you?
Okay, well, no, but I'm more apt to take the dog away to be like, hey, this guy or gal can't feed themselves. What are they doing with the dog? Because the dog's not eating.
Right. Because people like Jim are giving a few extra bucks. They're using the dog. Jesus.
And then Jim, I'm a sucker for people with dogs.
Especially he likes the hobos that have the cardboard with the Venmo on it now. That's his thing.
Or that little square thing you got to take a picture of. What the hell is that called?
Hey, I don't have any cash. Because now you can't use it on a hobo now. I don't have any cash on me. Oh, it's okay. I got Apple Square Pay.
Yeah.
You do? I mean, let me just slide my card. And you can do a reoccurring payment now every month if you want.
Yeah.
Thanks, Hobo Larry. Sure.
I you know what? I hate that little QR code thing. You know, I was at a restaurant the other night and like, would you like a physical menu, sir? And I'm like, yeah, I want a damn menu. Yeah. Just hand a menu to me. I don't want to like have to take a picture and go to the website and look at it on my phone. I don't want to do that.
Everybody's with you.
Everyone?
Everyone's with
you. John, are
you
with me on that?
At the clouds. Everyone's with you.
Well, maybe John's not.
He is.
Are you sure?
No, I'm with you. No more. I want real food. I want a real menu. I don't want a picture of dinner and a picture of the menu.
Okay, so do you not, let me ask you this, as someone who's been a sports fan your entire life and then now has covered it, do you think there are conspiracies? Do you think there are games in which officials or a league steps in and does anything?
Look, I think, you know, I probably like you guys, I've talked to Tim Donaghy, you know, and he's out, you know, talking about I think there are bad apples that may have steered influences of games, sure, just like there are some bad apples on the court. But I don't think the leagues could be that invested in trying to orchestrate a conspiracy. I do think they tell officials, hey, we're going to call a certain type of call in this game. And, you know, in different times it is hurt players, like if they're going to call a carry, it would hurt Allen Iverson, right? And if they're going to change how they officiate big men, it would hurt Yao Ming. And I think that can sometimes explain why certain officials have a harder time with certain players. But I don't believe in these sweeping conspiracy theories. I think more often than not, we're looking for some reason to explain why our team sucks and stunk it up. And instead of just addressing like, hey, isn't the more likely scenario that, you know, the better team won or, you know, your star player had a bad game. So I'm going to say no. And I think the death blow would be if one of these leagues got caught doing it. The downside to it would be so much more detrimental than any kind of upside that they could gain by getting ratings or market share.
I know you're right, but I'll hearken back to when I was a young man. I would think 16 years old, June 5th. Actually, it's coming up, June 5th, 1993. I watched a Western Conference Finals game in which the Phoenix Suns shot 64 free throws, and my beloved Seattle SuperSonics shot 36. And I'm still convinced to this day that there was some type of wanting of the league to have the league's MVP Barkley against Michael Jordan. Because I just remember that game, Barkley shot 22 free throws in that game. Kevin Johnson had 16. So the 16-year-old in me will always be convinced that game was rigged. Jim, you were probably covering it. What did you think?
Right there courtside, yeah.
Did it seem rigged to you?
It seemed pretty one-sided, yeah.
I mean, that thing was... And then I also think, I don't know if you remember that game, John, but then I also think of the... Because the Kings fans, I mean, you can ask Sacramento Kings fans. Yep. To this day, they are convinced that the league rigged the Game 7 in Sacramento, which the Lakers won in overtime against Sacramento because they wanted the Lakers in the finals.
But if they rigged it, would they have allowed it to go overtime?
That would be the counter to it. That would be. So I don't know. And then you ask any Seahawks fan, John. I mean, they think that the first Super Bowl they appeared in against the Steelers was rigged. And Bill Levy admitted that, hey, they missed some calls. Now, Bill Levy didn't admit they rigged the game. He just admitted that they missed calls. So I understand how fans get there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, umpires are human and officials are human. And they will tell you that they sometimes feel the pressure of a big game just like a player does. And, you know, Jim Joyce, who missed that call in that perfect game with the Detroit Tigers years ago, and, you know, he lives here in Oregon. I've talked to him a number of times about it. He was sick afterwards. And people said, well, he just didn't want the Tigers to get a perfect game. No, when you look at the replay, it was a weird play, ball off the end of the bat. You got the pitcher covering first base. He was out of position. I mean, he was feeling kind of the gravity of, hey, I'm about to call a play on a perfect game, and he just blew the call.
Hey, I'm leaving this for the final, like, 2 minutes, and maybe next week we'll spend more time on it. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but Ross Dellinger for SI.com did this big kind of deep dive into collectives, NIL, and about the SEC. And I don't think there's anything in them that's groundbreaking that I don't think – there's nothing new in there that we didn't know. But I do appreciate – these ADs and presidents, one, putting their name on it, another AD not. But, I mean, there's an AD in the SEC that just said, hey, we need to admit what we're doing. We're money laundering. That's all we're doing. I mean, he said that. And then there's a Mississippi State president in there who said that basically, you know, everyone is breaking the rules and this is not what it was supposed to be. But what we're doing is we've empowered now athletic departments through these NILs to basically just pay the players now. And that's all we're doing. This whole system has been set up to just pay the players. And now these other states, Washington and Oregon are not among them, I don't believe, but these states are now passing laws. Texas now is about to pass it, where now the athletic departments can basically work step by step there with the collectives, which was supposed to be prevented, but now it doesn't appear that's going to be prevented anymore.
Yeah, Oregon, in the state of Oregon, the athletic departments can now give their blessing to the NIL entities. So Scott Barnes at Oregon State came out and said, hey, you want to support our athletes, support the Damnation Collective. And, you know, Rob Mullins doesn't need to do it with Division Street because, you know, they've got a blank check there with Phil Knight. But, yeah, it's really problematic. I don't know how you put the genie back in the bottle, because if you go back to the old system, you know, let's face it, it was happening before, but it was just happening under the table, and it was happening through, hey, we're going to take care of your relatives or give mom a job, and, and you know, it was happening. I do think that they're all looking to Congress, and I think part of what you see going public with this piece with, you know, Sports Illustrated included is, you know, I think there's a real willingness for them to talk about it right now, especially if you're one of the have-nots in a Power 5 conference. You're talking about it because what you want is transparency. I think there needs to be a database that is public that says, here's what Caleb Williams is getting. Here's all his deals that are out in the open on the table. And I think as soon as we can see what's happening nationally, then we'll know, like, how big of an issue is this, and, you know, can you put guardrails on it? Because I think right now the weird thing is, like, we don't know what Michael Penix Jr. got. We don't know what Bo Nix got. Did they get $500K? Did they get $2 million? I've heard numbers all over the place.
Yeah, there's no regulation to it. Well, I think next week we'll spend some more time on it. It's a real fascinating read, just kind of the ins and outs and the background on this.
I thought those guys were coming back because they had unfinished business.
That's
John.
True. They did.
The business being the key part of it, right? Yeah. Like, there you go.
You're the best. Great work on that story. I encourage everyone to go read it. We'll pump it up for you. We love having you on as always. Johnny, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, fellas. Take care.
Yeah, John Canzano. Bald-faced truth, not the toupee-faced truth. All brought to you by Zeke's Pizza, johncanzano.com. Only person that can tie in a JFK conspiracy into the NBA conspiracy and Major League Baseball conspiracy and NFL conspiracy. And I know that there probably wasn't a conspiracy that June 5th, 1993, as I was laid crying in a living room, but I'm just convinced still this day.
No, I remember sitting there with Glenn Nelson of the Times, who was covering the Sonics at the time, and was like, oh, man, I guess we're not going to Chicago. They don't want us to go to Chicago after this. But, yeah, that was quite a disparity that day in that game. Eddie Johnson went off in that game, too. Do you remember that?
Yeah, let me pull it up. Yeah. What did old Eddie Johnson do?
He was in the 30s, I think. I mean,
Eddie Johnson, hold on. God, I remember I loved Eddie. 12 of 17 from the floor, 34 points.
Yeah, he had a big game.
And he only attempted 1 3.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
That was it?
This game has changed so much. The Sonics only attempted 10 threes in that game.
Yeah.
Two of them hit by old sleepy Sammy Perkins.
Oh, man. Sam Perkins. He really had a nice stroke out there, didn't he?
Did he? God. It was just so unexpected that he would be good at it, though, right? Yeah. Yeah, that was a good series. God, that was a fun
Were Sam's series. Eyes ever open?
No, they were not. They were not.
He and Derek McKee, they always looked like they were asleep.
Round amount of rebounds was pretty good that day. 44 points and 24 rebounds for Charles Barkley.
Yeah, listed at 6'6", and what was he, more like 6'4"?
19 of 22 from the free throw line. The Desert Princess was 14 of 16, finished with 22 points. Ugh.
Kevin Johnson was fun to watch.
Oh, I hated that team. God, but they were good. But yeah, still convinced that they cheated us out of that. All right, voicemails next. Real quickly, the Seattle Kraken have scheduled a press conference tomorrow at 1 o'clock. So we will carry that live right here on 93.3 KJR. And, of course, on the iHeartRadio app, streaming everywhere on the iHeartRadio app, downloaded today. Co-owner Sam Holloway will be there, CEO Todd Lywicki, and general manager Ron Francis. 1 o'clock, no details released what it is in regards to. Bowie could be out as the mascot.
That's what you're hoping for.
Davy Jones' whereabouts revealed tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Or the proper pronunciation of Cartier's last name. Three options.
I like how fast you say that.
Cartier. Bowie out. They finally have had enough of a homeless troll being their team's mascot. Davy Jones. Haven't seen Davy Jones, the team dog, in a while. And Cartier.
Where's the press conference being held?
The press conference is being held, I don't know, probably up at Climate Pledge.
Okay, so 12:54, the show ends. We could get up there in time?
No, excuse me. It's in the anchor room of the Kraken Community Iceplex. Oh. We would not be able to make it up there in time.
Okay.
Speakers will be available for one-on-ones. Sam, where's Davy Jones? Just admit, A, you don't know who Davy Jones was when we asked you, and two, what happened to him? Where did he go? Did he bite someone? Huh?
You know,
or it could be that Ron Francis, who was signed back in July of 2019 to a reported 5-year contract, is now entering the final year of said contract, and maybe, just maybe, it's a contract extension for Ron Francis.
Yeah. Hey, Ron, Jim Moore from KJR. Congratulations on the contract extension, but where the hell is the dog?
I don't know what you're talking about. What dog? What? Boys are playing hard, forechecking and backchecking. I got good boys. We got some good boys. I asked you about the dog, Ron. Don't know about the dog. Sam, dog? I do want to know what happened to the damn dog. They made such a big deal of this dog. And now the dog has disappeared.
I think it's so funny how much you dislike Bowie.
Bowie?
It's just a mascot. You don't really like the moose either.
No, because they're called the Seattle Mariners.
Is Blitz okay?
Blitz is okay because it's an actual Seahawk. It's a Seahawk. It's a bird.
But there's no such thing as a Seahawk.
Yes, there is.
No, there isn't.
Yes, it's a commonly used nickname for an osprey.
Okay, would you agree with this?
But it is.
The Seattle Seahawks started in 1976.
Correct.
If the Seattle Seahawks started in 2023,
okay,
do you think we would have gone with Seahawks?
I don't know. Well, I like it. Well, I mean, sure.
I still contend that it's not a thing, but you're telling me it is.
It's a nickname for an osprey. It is.
Do you think anywhere else in the country they see an osprey and they go, hey, look at that Seahawk there?
I think so. Now they do.
No, they don't.
Especially when you walk
they don't.
Down. Especially when you go down the airport for a road game, you hear, Seahawk! Seahawk!
What?
Hey, I'm at a Mariners game in August. Playing the A's. Seahawk!
Why does that bother you so much?
I don't know.
I mean,
because I'm weird.
Yeah, I mean, you should act like it doesn't bother you and pander to the listening audience.
Seahawk! especially the bathroom.
Have you ever done the Hawks part?
No, especially the bathroom. The leaning up against the wall. Seahawk!
What?
My favorite thing about a Seahawks game is this drunk guy just sitting in the toilet or standing against that wall, just leaning up against it.
That is so rich, though. That's so rich. Because how many times have you been in Martin Stadium in the bathroom, and you know, we're down 28 points, and somebody looks at you and like, go Cougs, man.
Yeah, but it's just go Cougs. It's go Cougs. It's not go Cougs.
Yeah, we do that during the games.
That's true. We do.
Yeah.
Bowie out, Davy Jones whereabouts, or Ron Francis contract extension. Anyways, tomorrow, 1 o'clock, Ian will be all over at 1 o'clock right here on 93.3 KJR FM. All right, how many voicemails do we have today, Christopher?
Three.
Three of them. Post-Memorial Day, a little light, but that's okay. You can always leave us a voicemail on the iHeartRadio app, mic icon there. You hit it 30 seconds, away you go. Anything and everything is on the table. Any complaints, though, Dick Fain at iHeartMedia.com. Mariners didn't spend enough in the offseason, Dick Fain at iHeartMedia.com. All of it, right there to Dickie. Everyone. Take it away.
So, Puckett, did you go to Campus U Totem? Man, when you guys were talking about that, brought me back to go visiting my son at Central. Man, those were just a fantastic burgers and fries and shakes and awesome stuff. Your kids had to have loved it.
Overruled. Voicemailer overruled by the family on the way home yesterday. It was overruled. They wanted Wendy's. I was like, it's a half mile more to this place. Well, we don't want to go. Okay.
Was it 3-1?
3-1.
3-1.
And I didn't want to go to Wendy's. So I went to Taco Bell.
Did Wendy's still have the square burgers?
Yeah, they do. Mm. And none of them got a Frosty.
Haven't been there
in a
while.
What's the point of going to Wendy's if not one of you gets a Frosty?
I was happy when they added the vanilla Frosty. Remember it was just chocolate for a while?
The vanilla is gone.
Is it?
It's been replaced by strawberry.
Oh. From the mild-mannered and marginally objectionable Ian Furness, this is Puddle Day. Well, good morning, Jim and Puck. I hope over the multiple days off it you didn't have any relapses, including but not limited to dogs and peanut butter. We wish you a fantastic week, and you know where to go if you're feeling the itch to get that peanut butter.
You know, a friend of mine brought up this weekend that he knows my affinity for said peanut butter, and he has stumbled across this device that you replaces the cap on your peanut butter for the Adam's peanut butter I get. So you screw it on, and it's a stir. So you then, it has like a tool that comes out of the top where you churn the peanut butter.
Oh, wow.
And he's buying that for me. And I said, thank you. I can't wait to devolve. I can't wait for that. Because then you pull that spoon out or whatever that thing is that stirs it. And I'll just be like, lick that thing like a dog.
So with the Adam's peanut butter, you need to stir it up every time?
You got to stir it every time.
Every time. Because the oil comes to the top.
Well, not every time, but initially when you get it, you got to stir it.
Yeah.
So it makes it great, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good for you. The absolute best.
Good to hear from Pat O'Day.
Good. I didn't know Pat. I'm sure you did.
Oh, God.
Just seemed like a wonderful guy.
Well, I grew up with him when KJR was a top 40 station, and then the Hydra races, you know, Pat O'Day in the North Turn, let's go out to Land Roberts. Yeah, I mean, it was.
And then, of course, his golf tournament.
The golf tournament was so much fun up there in Friday Harbor. I miss him.
Yeah. Last one.
Hello, friends. Jim Nance here for the PGA Tour. This last weekend, the PGA Tour was at Colonial for the Charles Schwab Challenge, where together we saw Emiliano Grillo win for the first time in over 8 years, taking down Adam Shank, as well as Peaky Blinders fill-in Harry Hall, who might have the worst facial hair that this broadcaster has ever seen. Now, back to the studio.
There you go. All right.
Yeah, some good observations there. Harry Hall, never heard of him, but
no.
Kind of an interesting-looking Englishman.
Does it still feel like Jim Nance doesn't have the right music? Before, when he had the music, it was more clear. Am I only the crazy one? Am I the craziest? Last time he did it, it wasn't the same music. This time, he's got the old music back, but it still is not the same, right?
I think you're onto something. I don't know what it is.
Emiliano Grillo.
Yeah, did you hear what he did?
I didn't see any of this. Tell me what happened.
He doubled the final hole and ended up getting in a. Adam Shank was able to get into a playoff with him.
Okay.
So Grillo, while he's preparing for the playoff on the driving range, always see those shots.
I saw them.
He got a kid on the other side of the fence to jump the fence and come out, and he wanted to see the kid hit some shots.
Oh, to relax him a little bit.
The kid just teed it up, had a nice swing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked like he was, I don't know, 10 or 12, something like that.
I did see that. Well, there we go.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting ready for, you know, a $2 million payday, a playoff, and he has this kid come. Yeah, I'm a fan of his now.
I like that very much. Now we got the Memorial coming up. This is old Jackie's tournament. This elevated event, right? $20 million? Yes, it is. Last year's winner, Billy Horschel. So they'll tee it up this week.
You going to take a good look at Billy?
Me? No, I don't think so.
Are you a horse for the course kind of guy?
No, I don't know who I'm going to take.
Billy's not in form, is he?
I don't know.
They always say that. That sounds like you know what you're talking about with golf. If you know, is he in form or not?
Tomorrow we'll have we'll be recording tomorrow. I would assume a latest edition of the 19th Hole podcast that Jim Moore has called the best fantasy golf podcast around. Correct?
It is. Yes, I do.
How many times have you listened to that?
Zero.
Your tweet of the day next. All right, tweet of the day. We scour Twitter for stories that we can talk about. So big thanks to anyone who sends us stuff. You can always send us a tweet, JasonPuckett20, at Cougs Go.
CKid206.
Yes, sir. This was actually sent in, I believe, at Cougs Go. This is a hard, you're going to hear audio of this, and there's going to be some long, there's going to be some pauses in it, but I'm just going to set it up. It's a state baseball championship game taking place in New York. And should we play the audio and then explain what happened? Or explain what happened and then play it? Because it's the play-by-play. It's probably some high school kid doing it for the high school. Taking place between Pal Mac and Hornell in the Class B1 state championship game. Well, let's play the audio and we'll explain what happened.
2-2, 2 on. Strike 3. And he's out. Hornout wins it. Oh, wait a minute. Hornell's got to pay attention. I'm not sure what's going on here.
Pandemonium.
So is this the way it's going to end? Wow. Hail Mac's going to win it? So they're going to send everyone back here. I'm not sure what they're doing to talk about
no
it.
No one does.
Maybe not. Oh, they're giving a victory. Wow, this has got to be the most bizarre ending I've ever seen. And Hornell's going to lose the championship because of that.
So Hal Mack was the team that was batting. Hornell was had a one-run lead with two outs in the game. This is the bottom of the set or top of the seventh, bottom of the seventh inning, whatever it was. And the Hornell had struck out the hitter to end the game. It's a pitch. It's a called third strike. There's runners at second and third. And Pal Mac is down by a run. The catcher gets it. It's a called third strike, but he drops the ball. And initially he goes, and credit the batter for Pal Mac, runs immediately to first base. Everyone knows the rule, drop third strike, you gotta tag him or throw him out at first. Well, the catcher appears to kind of lunge initially at the runner, but clearly misses him because the home plate umpire doesn't signal out. Now, it looks like the catcher tries to tag him but misses him, and then looks like he's going to throw to first, but almost points to the first base umpire as if the first base umpire may have called him out. Or what have you. I don't know why he was pointing at the first base umpire. He doesn't throw it to first. He then goes and celebrates with the rest of his teammates on the pitcher's mound. While the runner at third and the base runners for Pal Mac realize it's a drop third strike and he didn't throw the runner out, the tying run scores. The runner from second comes around to score. That's the game-winning run. The runner who ran to first, he comes all the way around to score. There's only one guy on the team for Pal Mac who is screaming to get the ball. It's number 33. He's like, get that damn ball. The game's not over. You can hear a parent in the background yelling, there's only two outs. He dropped the ball. That's how Pal Mac, out of a B1 state high school baseball team, won their championship in New York on a drop third strike. I don't laugh. I laugh because I can't imagine how that young man feels, the catcher.
Because it wasn't a pitch in the dirt that the kid swung at. It was a called third strike, so it had to be a catchable ball.
He just dropped it. And he would have, if he missed the tag, he would have easily got up, thrown it to first, and he's out. He's done that play a million times. And he just, I think, based on his physical reaction, that he thinks he tagged him. But it's hard to tell.
Yeah, because he was getting ready. It looked like he was getting ready to throw to first and then thought, well, I don't have to throw to first because I think I tagged the kid. Yeah.
And I just, what we don't know is the view of the first base umpire. Did he call him out? I don't know. They got together. The manager, obviously, of Pal Mac is very upset. They're adamant to know what happened. Maybe they didn't see him drop it. I don't know. It did bring up this. It is, you know, we have a lot of rules that we don't like in sports, right? Like, two come to mind for me. Golf is the hitting out of a divot. I think it's dumb. Football, I think you and I both agree on this one. When an offensive player is running and about to score and a defensive player hits the ball and it goes out of bounds, then immediately it's the other team's ball.
If it's in the end zone.
If it goes through the end zone. I don't like that rule. It should just be the team offensive team ball
and they get it at the...
Anywhere else on the field when the ball is knocked free and it goes out of bounds, it goes back to the team that had possession.
Yeah, they should just get the ball back. The defense didn't do anything to get the ball
back. Yeah, you not only get the ball back, you get 20 yards out of it.
I've never liked this rule in baseball. Me personally. And I know...
About what? Having to...
Drop third strike. Because...
You were telling me in Little League that's a thing now.
Well, next year it is. And majors,
I was surprised to hear that because I don't remember that one in Little League.
I've never liked it because I understand the ball is live all the time. And I think if there are runners on base, they should always be able to advance. That's different. But I don't think the hitter should be rewarded going to first because the catcher dropped the ball.
He just struck out.
Because he struck out.
Yeah.
He's out.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything to be awarded the base other than the catcher dropped the ball. So I've always felt with that one rule, it reminds me a lot of the football rule when the ball goes out of bounds and the other team gets it. There's nothing the hitter did to deserve getting on base other than the catcher just dropping. Now, if there are runners on, yes, they could advance. But I've always thought that the hitter should still be on.
All right, two things. The team that won the game. If you were on that team or the coach or a parent, would you feel really good about it? And then the other thing, if you're the dad of the catcher, what do you say to your kid? What would you come up with?
You hug him and just, I don't think you say anything. What can you possibly say to the young man?
And is that something 20 years from now that kid's still going to be thinking about and it's just going to eat at him and potentially ruin his life?
I don't think it.
I mean,
I'm
going too far with that.
You're going dark, but is it going to be something he remembers for the rest of his life?
No, I remember writing. Yes. I remember writing a column back. There was a game at the Tacoma Dome, and there was a kid that, the clock was running out, and his coach instructed him to get the ball and just run backwards, and then he gets near the end zone and drops the ball in the end zone. The other team picked it up, and they end up winning the game. And then I always just wondered, how that kid, 20 years from now, how he was going to be. And if he's, I think I did a follow up column and he was doing fine. He worked at the Seahawks for a while. But I just, that's the thing, like you mentioned. I mean, just thinking about that catcher and what you would say to him, or if you're that kid himself, how you would deal with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd need therapy, I would think, if I'm that kid.
It would be hard for however old he is, 17, 16, 17, 18, however old he is. I mean, that's. Because it's high school sports. It's everything to you.
Yeah. And if you're a teammate, hopefully, the teammates went up to him and said, hey, man, that's okay.
We could have
God,
been
we
better.
Love you.
I bet his teammates said, hey, we could have realized. Yeah. It's not only, we could have realized that you need, and all we needed to do was tag one of them.
Right.
At least tag, the kid from third's going to tie it, but we'll just tag the other guy and we'll go to extra innings.
Right.
Heartbreaking. It's a heck of a way to lose a state championship, a heck of a way to win one. All right, coming up next, final hour includes a visit with one of the voices of the Mayors, Aaron Goldsmith, coming up next.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.